This morning's Hebrew Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 through 23. If you wish to follow along with the reading, you may find it on page 2 of your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then God took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting at verse 12. Listen to what God is saying to the church today. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you will love each other." The word of the Lord. Making friends is a basic life skill. We begin practicing it even before we learn to walk. But if I were to ask any one of us, how does someone make a friend? We would have a hard time coming up with a solid answer. My first day of kindergarten, I was in a panic, not knowing how I would make any friends. I had friends, but I wasn't quite sure how that happened and how to make it happen again in a new environment. I assumed my mother knew the answer, so I went to her and she told me that all I had to do was walk up to someone and say, "Will you be my friend?" Seemed simple enough. The advice actually paid off pretty well. I still am very close to two people that I met that day. Then 13 years later, I walked onto the Michigan State campus and had another panic attack. Again, I had no idea how I was going to make friends. It happened again when I walked off campus a couple years later. If you put me in a new community today, I would probably have the same worries. How have I gotten this far in life with friends with lots of friending experience and still not have a solid friend strategy. There seems to be no wrong way to make friends. I've made friends in times of joy and in times of grief. I've made friends while locked in a building with people, aka school. And as an extrovert, I admit that I have imposed my friendship on a few unsuspecting introverts. With many ways to make friends, it's hard to find a straight answer and come up with a solid strategy. Carnegie tried to pitch his strategy in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That book did well in its time, but over the years, people have come to know that it's disingenuous at best and manipulative at the worst. As difficult as making friends can be, it is essential to our happiness. A study from my alma mater found that friendships play more of a role in our mental health than our family does. They think this is because when we hang out with our friends, we tend to do leisurely, fun activities, and family time can be a bit more monotonous. They do recognize that people have deep friendships within their families, and so their conclusion was that if you have more support people in your life, the stronger your mental health tends to be. The idea of humans needing other humans is not a new revelation. It's biblical. Genesis 2 as a fundamental. The first problem in the world was not sin, it was isolation. Adam is in the garden alone. God sends every animal to be named and hopes that Adam will pick a friend and a helper. But not even the dog gets that role. God has to go back to the drawing board to come up with another creature different than anything he's made before. And at this point, God has a lot of creating experience, so woman does not disappoint. Adam finally has a friend. He no longer is alone in the garden. Isolation is a major problem in God's eyes. We are not meant to be separated. We are meant to be in relationships. We are meant to have friendships. Jesus knew the importance of friendships. The first thing he did in his ministry was to gather his friends and call the disciples to his side. And in the Gospel of John, as Jesus prepares to go to the cross, he talks to those disciples about friendship. He knows that they're about to start a new chapter of their life, and he doesn't want them to panic about making friends in the world. So he tells them to look for three markers of a good friend: imitation, information, and initiative. Imitation is the first marker. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Now, that's some strong language. I wouldn't say that I have ever commanded a friend, though my introverted friends might say I have. Command doesn't feel right in the context of a friendship. We don't want to have a commanding relationship with anybody. But what Jesus is trying to say and wants us to understand is that friends want to imitate each other. They want to help one another. They have seen the value in another person's thoughts, in their needs and actions, and want to help any way they can. Jesus is commanding the disciples to love one another. And because they're friends, no one is throwing up their arms and saying, "You ask too much, we can't possibly do that." No, because they're friends, they understand the context of the command and agree that it's something worthy of putting into action. Friending requires imitation. Body language specialists say that if you want someone to like you, or you're wondering if they are like you in return, you can check the body postures. If you lean back and they lean back, they're trying to make a connection. If they cross their arms and you cross your arms, you'll come off as more similar and the friending potential is increased. When we are someone's friend, we see them and we admire something within them. They inspire us to be the best that we can be, and by obeying their commands, we can become better people. Of course, there are limitations. Boundaries are very important in every relationship and friendship. No is a command that we can use and obey. In the next friend marker, Jesus tries to help us find those boundaries and says that friendship also has information. He says that in a master-slave relationship, the master knows more information than the slave does. If the master gives a command, the slave has to answer without asking any questions. And if there is a question asked, the master doesn't give an answer. It's not the slave's right to know. That is not a friendship, Jesus says. He says that friends keep friends informed. If I make a command and someone asks why, then I explain. If a friend is uncomfortable with a command, they can express their feelings and be heard freely. Friendship has a free flow of information so that everyone in the relationship can set good boundaries and react autonomously. The third marker is initiative. Remember the advice that my mother gave me? To go up and ask someone to be your friend? That is essentially what Jesus is talking about here. When I read this scripture, I realized that what I thought was friendship and where I thought friendship began was in the wrong place. I thought when I asked someone to be my friend and they gave me a yes answer, that's when friendship started. But what Jesus says is that friendship begins when you take initiative to be friendly. When Jesus calls his disciples friends, he says, "You did not choose me. I chose you." I chose you is enough. It means that even if you get a no in return, you haven't failed. It's not a bad thing. The effort to be friendly to someone is still worth the effort. It is still a very holy act. Jesus simply wants people to be friendly and bear the fruit of love into the world. If we're so crippled by fear and rejection, love doesn't have a chance to spread. This holy work of friending is valuable no matter the other person's response. Friending is so important to faith as well. My personal ministry philosophy is centered on this spiritual practice. It's controversial, but my main goal with the youth is for them to make friends and to build community. If a youth walks out of here knowing nothing about Jesus but has a friend, or knows that buildings like these are a place to go to when you need a friend, then I'm thrilled. Of course, I want them to learn about Jesus. I want them to grow in their faith. But for some high schoolers, this will not be the time in their life that that type of growth happens. But if they have a friend in their life that ensures that God will always have a voice to speak to them through. Each friend we make holds the potential to bring God's love to us when we need it the most. That's why initiative is so important in a friendship. If we see something a friend is in need of, we should feel the power to go and help. The only way we know that there is a need is by sharing information freely, by speaking of our needs and our feelings, not covering things up with a fun Instagram post. When we share information freely, it helps put ourselves into someone else's shoes, to imitate the best qualities that we see in them, to show them who they are until they can remember and are reminded of how much they are loved. No one is perfect at friending. The process of being a good friend is a spiritual practice, just like praying and reading the scripture is. Sometimes it will be easy. Sometimes it will feel impossible. But just like any other spiritual discipline, we need to keep pushing ourselves to be the best friends that we can be. May we be people worth imitating and surround ourselves with people that inspire us. May we be open and honest with the people in our lives. May we find ways to take initiative and to bring God's love into the world. Amen.